Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
You could say it was a relatively light news day as far as the local teams were concerned. D'Amico Ryan spoke. We'll have some sound from him from his Monday presser. Some updates on Nico Collins and Joe Mixon. He also talked about Christian Harris. Still no real timetable for his return, despite his ability to start the 21-day process where he can start to practice, and then they can determine whether he is good to go as far as getting back out on the field after coming off of IR. So that hasn't begun because he is clearly not close. But the NFL provides. Robert Saleh has been fired by the New York Jets. That broke maybe an hour or so ago. And this has to be the most predictable firing since Aaron Rodgers became a Jet. This was only going to go one way. The Jets were throwing a Hail Mary. They found an active quarterback who was willing to come play there, who had some pelts on the wall, and they thought to themselves, hey, we got a chance to be relevant again. And they were, up until he ran out there with the American flag for Monday Night Football last year and then tore his Achilles. And since that point, it's always been a countdown to Robert Saleh getting fired. And honestly, I'll go back to my original thing. This was going to happen as soon as Aaron Rodgers took over, because I won't say the man was washed in his final game with the Packers, but he was declining as a player. They had a chance to make the playoffs in his final game. Well, it wouldn't have been if they would have won the division, but he had a game at home to beat the Lions before the Lions became the Lions. Proto-Lions, as I call them, under Dan Campbell. And he couldn't beat the Lions at home. And that was his final game, walking off the field, a loser to the Detroit Lions. And the Jets were like, you know what, we're all in on a guy who couldn't beat the Lions in the winner-take-all. And it's been leading to this. From taking time out from mini camps and training camps to go do the I'm going to find myself thing, which is kind of weird for a 40-something-year-old to say. But that's Aaron Rodgers' bag. He likes to find himself. And this was always going to be the result. Joe Douglas is probably next. But when you turn your franchise over to an old, diminishing player, what do you think was going to happen? At least with Daryl Morey, he got James Harden on the come up. James Harden, before he became a star, people criticized LeBron for what he does to the organization, what the wake he leaves after he leaves. But at least he's at the top of his game, and you're always competitive. The Jets are 2-3. You watch Aaron Rodgers play early Sunday morning. So early, I thought it was Saturday. Early Sunday morning in London. And he looked like a guy who was a below-average quarterback. He threw 3 picks. Now, part of that is what Brian Flores is doing. Brian Flores does that to a lot of quarterbacks, particularly this season, ruining the lives of quarterbacks. But that didn't look like a guy who could elevate a franchise. I think kind of wash should be in play for Aaron Rodgers. He's not completely washed, but he's getting there, and Robert Saleh pays the price. So there it is. The first head coach firing of the year belongs to the Jets. They get rid of Robert Saleh. He's 2-3. I don't know if Robert Saleh is a good coach, but when your quarterbacks are Zach Wilson, and then all the quarterbacks they tried when Zach Wilson was hurt or just bad, And then Aaron Rodgers, who got hurt in game one, he had no chance. And you can't fire Woody Johnson, the owner. Joe Douglas had to make a move. And Aaron Rodgers certainly wasn't going anywhere. So Robert Saleh's the guy. Think about that team. Nathaniel Hackett is the OC. Alan Lazard is his number two wide receiver because he wanted him there. Aaron Rodgers did. And Randall Cobb he brought on last year. And then you got Garrett Wilson, who thought he hit the jackpot because he no longer had to catch passes from the likes of Tim Boyle or Zach Wilson. And then he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers is a guy who's still throwing passes like he's in Green Bay. He just isn't physically capable of doing what he used to do. So they're a little inaccurate. They're stopping guys' feet. He's throwing over guys' heads. He's floating balls. He's throwing way inside when he has Mike Williams on the outside for a back shoulder fade. And he's still running the offense like he's still capable of being the guy he was in 2014, 15, 16, and 17, and so on. You're not that guy, pal, as that one famous internet gentleman said. You're not that guy anymore, Aaron Rodgers. And Robert Saleh has to pay for it. So I think it's predictable. Doesn't mean I didn't think it was going to happen through 5 weeks. But I guess the Jets are like, hey, the London game was enough. Why? You know what? They should have fired him Sunday and said, hey, you want to stay here? You want to explore the old world?
Yeah.
You want to go to France? What else do you want to do? Because you don't have to come back with us if you don't want to. I mean, we got a seat for you on the plane, but if you just want to stay, you can and just explore some of what the old world has to offer.
You already got your passport on you.
So. Yeah. Just fly the wife out if she didn't make the trip and just enjoy the sights.
I do think there is something psychological about losing the London game that gets coaches fired.
Yeah,
where it's just like the owner. Maybe it's just the owner has more time to think about it. He has an extra
back.
Yeah, a few hours to be like, you know what, get this guy out of my face.
But why do it? Honestly, I get why you do it, but the Bills aren't exactly world beaters. In fact, you get to play them on Monday night. If you beat the Bills on Monday night, you now lead the division. I understand the macro of why you're doing it because this isn't going to work out. I mean, there are multiple reasons why. But in the middle of a year where maybe the division can be had and you can go out there and say we're at least as good as the Bills by beating them on Monday night, you decide to fire them now?
Is it as simple as Aaron Rodgers on the 7.5-hour flight?
Had enough of Saleh and said, like, okay, he's got to go?
Him, right there, Baldy. Get him out of here.
I would want to say that it's not as simple as that, but considering how much they've given him as far as control, I can't say that what you're saying is impossible, that Aaron Rodgers, after being pretty much embarrassed in the solo game, everyone who cared about the NFL and got up was watching that game, and they saw him be terrible and lose a very winnable game because Sam Darnold was doing that thing that Sam Darnold does for the most part of his career. And he couldn't get it done. He was worse than Sam Darnold. That might have been the breaking point for Aaron Rodgers. In a game where Sam Darnold's on the other side, I'm clearly the worst quarterback.
Yeah.
Someone's got to go, and it can't be me, so it has to be this guy.
You know what? Change the narrative. Distract.
Yeah.
Obfuscate.
Yeah. Something like that. Stop looking at me.
Smoke bomb.
How bad I was. The bald guy's the problem.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh's the problem. He's got to go.
Let's give New York radio something to talk about.
Yeah,
That
isn't me on a drive where we could have won the game and me throwing an awful pick. Let's talk about something else. So there it is, the big news of the day, particularly in the NFL. Robert Saleh's gone, and he must have felt that something was hanging over his head. Like he was maybe not a dead man walking, but he was walking on hot coals for the rest of the season after that game. It's an embarrassing way to lose. Look, particularly when it's very winnable. The Vikings are a good football team, but you have a game that you can win, and that's now two in a row. You've lost to the Broncos in embarrassing fashion because your offense couldn't get anything done, and then the next week your offense lets your defense down one more time. So he had to go, and that's how it is. I just think about it. You can win this division. It must be so bad in that building. Because
that's what it has to
be. NFL teams, when they sense any chance, They will hold on like grim death. They will hold on. They don't want to go. They keep fighting. We know all the cliches. Keep fighting. We're never out of it. And at least for Robert Saleh, the Jets said, no, you're out of it. You got to go. So he's done. I don't know if I've seen, I don't know if they've announced who the interim might be. I don't think it'll be Nathaniel Hackett. It might be Jeff Ulbrich. I think that's their defensive coordinator. They might revert to him as the interim. Has a team ever been one game out of the division lead and fired their head coach? I'm sure it's happened. This early in the year. Well, obviously it's happened late in the year. That's how the NFL works. But this early in the year, 5 weeks in, and you decide to dump your head coach when you are in the division race. I can't remember the last time this happened.
They still have both games against the leader.
Yeah. In fact, have they played a division game yet?
Did they play?
They haven't played the Dolphins. Have they played the Patriots yet?
Yes, on Thursday night, a couple weeks ago.
Okay, that's their one division game. So they have five more to go.
Yeah,
and they're clearly in the race and decided, not with you,
not with him.
We're going to run this race with someone else. You're done. You are out. So there is the news. And Julian, who is a San Francisco fan, is familiar with Robert Saleh from his time in the Bay. So we'll talk to Julian when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. As I said, we'll get to D'Amico Ryan's sound. He is in no way worried about being fired. He leads his division 4-1. But there is some uncertainty regarding some of his offensive stars. And he talked about that yesterday. We'll get to it. John Gruden, for whatever reason, is on TikTok. And he's breaking down football in a very weird way. We'll play some sound from Gruden. If you haven't seen the visual, it's like he's in a dark room, and it's almost like the only light on his face is the light from a projector. No. Were they called projectors?
Overhead projectors.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And I don't know why he's lit himself this way, but he's done it.
Oh, he's lit.
So we'll play some sound from John Gruden talking about C.J. Stroud and the back half of the clip may be something we play going forward, because there's a sound bite he uses that might fit on this show going forward. So we'll get to that. Julian, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. But first, Sean, you're going to talk about Prize Picks.
Yes, I do. I want to talk about Prize Picks. You know what helped me out last night? Prize Picks and their injury insurance on players. It's the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. So if one of your players gets hurt, you don't lose your lineup because of that. So I had an entry with Derek Carr in it. Derek Carr obviously left the game early. What Prize Picks does is they just make that null, they make that void, and so the lineup lives on. So because I was right about Xavier Worthy having more than 10 fantasy points, and because I was right about the combined yardage in the field goals in that game, it doesn't matter that Derek Carr got hurt for me. It matters for him still, but it doesn't matter for me. I still win my money. That's right. Prize Picks, best way to do that, especially with that injury guarantee as we get later in the season. Guys are getting more beat up. You're going to want that injury insurance policy. So download Prize Picks app today and use code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code MAPES to Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that money. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The Rockets started their preseason yesterday. I didn't get my eyes on that game, but it begs the question, when do we start watching Rockets basketball? Because they played Utah, not that the opponent matters in the preseason.
Rivalry game.
Yeah, I know. The whole city was lit up for the Jazz Rockets rivalry renewed in Salt Lake yesterday or last night. But we did this with the Astros as far as how many games were we going to watch. The Rockets are supposed to be a good team this year, certainly intriguing. So this show will discuss over-under on games we'll watch, when we'll start watching. Will we hold off until the start of the regular season? Do they have to play a home game in the preseason before we start to care? How much of Vanessa Richardson are we going to pay attention to in the preseason because she's going to be covering Rockets basketball? Or do we hold off on that until game one of the regular season? But Julian, who I said we would get to, wants to talk about Robert Saleh. What's up, Julian?
Hi, Frank. Frank, it's Victor. Frank, I want to do your lawn. Hey, look, so Robert Saleh being fired is so crazy. Aaron Rodgers has been thoroughly outplayed in every game except one. But he has this way of manipulating the media. And I don't know what it is or why they let it happen, but as soon as he talks, they just all turn into idiots. And this goes back to even in Green Bay, he always wants to be the smartest guy in the room. But to me, he just comes off the biggest douchebag in the world. Now, Robert Saleh, come on down, brother. You can be a consultant for us. Thornstein, I just don't have that much faith in him. And as far as the Niners are concerned, we're going to have to rip off like a 5-game winning streak. Yes, that includes beating the sorry Cowgirls, and that includes beating Patrick Mahomes, who, man, let's face it, he don't look the same. I don't care what nobody says. Yes, I understand the weapons aren't there as they have been in the past years. But what do they say about Purdy? Well, let's see what he does without the Avengers. Well, what's Mahomes looking like without everybody? Have a good one.
The current defensive coordinator for the 49ers is Nick Sorensen in his first year. They had DeMeco obviously 2 years ago. Now they went from Steve Wilkes, who they weren't thrilled with, to Nick Sorensen. And, you know, Nick Sorensen's defense gave up a big lead against the Rams, and they couldn't hold down the Cardinals enough. I mean, they didn't give up a lot of points, but the Cardinals had opportunities, and they moved the ball pretty well in Santa Clara against the 49ers. So, Robert Saleh, I don't know if he wants to jump back in the game quickly. I don't know how the contracts work, where if you become a consultant, it doesn't really count. So you still get your money, whatever the offset language might be after getting fired. But it wouldn't surprise me that if he's on a staff after like 4 or 5 weeks, once he works out the intricacies of his deal with the Jets and he winds up someplace helping someone out, particularly a playoff team or a team who thinks they can make the playoffs. So he's out. And yes, the Aaron Rodgers thing. He hasn't played good football this year, but he's one of those guys you can't get rid of. What are you going to do? Who's the Jets' backup quarterback? Tyrod Taylor? You want to play Tyrod Taylor for the rest of the year? Is that what the Jets are going to sell their fans? Tyrod Taylor's going to answer it. Those same fans watched Tyrod Taylor play for the Giants. He was in the city either last year or relatively recently, and it didn't work out because it's Tyrod Taylor. He's fine as a backup, but there's no hope of winning and of anything of any consequence when he's your quarterback. So it'll be Aaron Rodgers until the wheels fall off. Now, looks like an axle's broken because they had to fire Saleh, and Aaron Rodgers will tell everybody through his intermediaries he had nothing to do with it. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for Aaron Rodgers yelling at some reporter about anyone suggesting he had anything to do with it. You know that's coming. When's his availability? Tomorrow? Today's an off day, right?
Yeah, probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Is he on McAfee?
That's usually today, right? On a Tuesday? Yeah. I don't know. I don't watch McAfee, but
I watch it on mute, and so I just look up, and I'm like, there's Bill Belichick.
Or there's Aaron Rodgers up there. Look at that. It might be today. It's his off day, so he can be there long form with McAfee. McAfee's just rubbing his hands together. Perfect. But he'll shoot Aaron Rodgers some bail. Probably won't even make it very difficult on him, but we all know he's going to get out ahead of it, maybe yell at Diana Russini or something and blame whatever reporter he needs to for why he's not at fault for this. And maybe you didn't go to the owner or the GM and go, Robert Saleh's got to go. But you did it enough by your play. If you had outplayed Bo Nix at home, you'd be 3-2, tied for the division lead, and maybe Robert Saleh wouldn't have gotten fired. If you outplayed a Sam Darnold who was off his game, you could be 4-1 if you had played up to the level people think you're capable of. I think we're squarely in wash watch with Aaron Rodgers. That offense is not a good one, and he's part of the reason. So there's that. We move away from that story. I'm sure it's still developing, as it only broke a couple hours ago. So we'll see, or maybe an hour and a half ago. So we'll see what comes out of that. But here in town, and we'll save the Rockets question for the next segment, because they played in Utah, and we got to figure out how we're going to approach this Rockets season. That's supposed to be exciting. But is Sean Mapes going to be locked in on Space City Home Network every other night and sometimes back-to-back? Sean, will it be difficult for you like a player? This is three games of four nights. How many games can I watch? Can I watch three games of four nights? Do you get a dress day?
Every once in a while, yeah.
You want to be someone who gets managed?
I'm not Kawhi Leonard. I put years in this game, you know.
But three,
some nights I'm Jimmy Butler, where I'm out there, but you can tell I'm not giving my all.
Yes, so
it's
three
the regular season.
Yeah, I mean three out of three games of four nights, I think it's going to be a little difficult on you.
One of them is going to be a Hornets game that I can kind of like half watch. You know?
Sean Mapes can't watch the game tonight. He's out for reasons. What reasons? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what favorite show you're watching during the week, but whatever it might be, he's out because he wants to watch something on FX.
Yeah, he has to catch up on the Aaron Hernandez show.
Yeah, he's still a couple episodes back on Monsters, the Menendez story, whatever it's called. He's got to watch that. So he can't watch Rockets versus Hornets on November 5th. So we'll get into that. But D'Amico Ryan spoke yesterday. And I guess the biggest thing beyond the questions about clock management and the intentional grounding that led to the Bills giving it right back to the Texans and obviously Kyemi Fairbairn making the kick were the injuries. Nick Christian Harris was brought up, Nico Collins was brought up, and so was Joe Mixon. So we'll get to those when we come back, at least a couple of them, because I would say all of them are very uncertain. There's really no timetable. We went from day to day to week with Nico Collins, which we talked about yesterday on the show. It didn't make sense for a hamstring to be day-to-day. It felt like something where they would find out week-to-week. So I would say probably don't expect Nico Collins to play against the Patriots the way D'Amico framed it. And, of course, he talked about, you'll hear the sound. I won't undercut the sound there. And Joe Mixon's still a guy they're not sure about. So some uncertainty with a couple of big contributors for that Texans offense. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Prize Picks. You heard Julian talk about Patrick Mahomes not looking right. Well, looked right enough to cover. And you could have taken advantage of the Saints they didn't get blown out, but they got beat by enough because great teams cover, good teams simply win. So the Chiefs, 5-0, and they are a great team last night because they covered. You can take advantage of that at MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.ag and check out the website. Pretty simple. And you know they will match on that first deposit, 100% match up to $1,000. I don't ever really mention this. And you get $10 worth of casino chips if you want to take advantage of the casino, particularly the live casino that they provide. So you had the NFL last night. You can bet on that. I'm sure they'll have next coach be fired up odds as well. If you missed out on the Robert Saleh firing, maybe you know who's next. You can take advantage and check it out on MyBookie. From the NFL to college football to the NBA with preseason action ready to go. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. Just go to mybookie.ag. And remember, that promo code is bet975. Make your money go further with that. Mybookie.ag.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, from the previous show, there was a tweet regarding Nico Collins and him being in the MVP conversation. I think, while that's all well and good, and we can pretend like that's going to someone that's not a quarterback, if you want to get into should he win Offensive Player of the Year, that's the more viable, likely option. The MVP is the one with all the acclaim and the one everyone talks about. But if we're talking about an award that Nico Collins actually can win, Offensive Player of the Year is the one we should be talking about. Usually goes to the best non-quarterback. And right now, I don't know if there's any player that isn't a quarterback that's been better than Nico Collins on the offensive side of the ball. We know he leads the league in receiving. Is there a back that could challenge him for that? Don't think so. Maybe Saquon. Maybe Saquon would be the challenger as far as a running back. But Nico clearly out ahead when it comes to wide receiver.
Yeah, I think Jefferson, Collins, Barkley, probably the top three.
Probably at this point. And since Nico leads the wide receiver category, Jefferson can have a big 3 weeks and change that quickly.
Nico Collins is going to miss at least one game.
Yes, so. It feels like. We don't know if that's going to play out that way, but it feels like Nico Collins is going to miss some time. He was dealing with a hamstring before the game and aggravated it, or as the NFL likes to say, re-aggravated it. He re-aggravated it in the game after scoring his long touchdown, and now will likely miss some time. And, of course, that was a question and a topic of conversation yesterday in the DeMeco Ryans press conference, and he answered it. Here's DeMeco Ryans on the availability, or maybe the lack thereof, of Nico Collins going forward.
Missing Nico would be very difficult. Like, Nico has been the best receiver in the NFL this year, so do you replace him? No. Everybody just steps up, and whatever role you're asked to do, you just step up and play your role the proper way. Nobody has to go out and be Nico, right? There's one Nico. He's done a great job of that. Now whoever is next, when your number is called, make the plays that you're supposed to make.
Nico Collins on the year. 32 catches, 567 yards, and 3 touchdowns, averaging nearly 18 yards a catch. He ain't the slant merchant that Michael Thomas is. Big wide receiver who can get down the field, or was Michael Thomas. Doesn't do much anymore. But Nico Collins, a big wide receiver, can get down the field, beat guys deep, a big play threat at all times, and a great connection with his quarterback. So Tank Dell gets elevated out of necessity. Stephon Diggs probably becomes the number one target. I wonder how that'll play out, because in the middle of the game, you have your game plan, and Tank Dell's not a like-for-like replacement for Nico Collins, but will the next time we see the Texans, will the game plan be centered around Tank? Will they do what they said they're going to do in the offseason? The discussion was all about, well, who's ever open? And then it turned into, well, Nico's the number one. And yes, he's generally open all the time, but also he's CJ's favorite target. CJ's going to feed him the ball. Will it become more of a distribution of targets with him likely gone? At least we're assuming he's gone for a week. Or will someone become the number one again, because that's what makes CJ feel good? Everyone has a number one. You imagine if the Vikings are like, nah, whoever's open. Who's there? If Addison is open, or we'll throw it to him. No. If you have a clear number one, the number one gets the bulk of the targets. You can't find that anywhere. Where do we go? Maybe San Francisco. Maybe that's the one spot, because Debo is paid like one. And then, of course, Brandon, you've got his money. And when Christian McCaffrey's healthy and George Kittle, that might be the one place where you're like, there's not a clear number one.
Actually, whoever's open. Well, there's other places without a clear
one. You're right. There are places just, who don't have a number one. But when players,
they aren't good.
The players of that talent level, like in San Francisco, where you could probably say IU someplace else could be a number one. I don't know if Debo could. I'm not sure his route tree is one where he could be. But he's paid like a weapon. Let's say he's paid like just an all-around weapon. But they have so many guys. The offense, I know, very similar to the Texans in some regards, is an offense that asks and really thrives on the quarterback distributing and having those guys make plays. But here, where you have a big-time wide receiver, maybe you say you have three of them, there is a one, and then there's a two, and then there's a three. There has been a clear line of succession, and now that Nico's out, I guess Tank rises to two, because Stephon Diggs is now the number one. Unless we revert back to last year where CJ loved him some Tank early in the year before he got hurt. I don't know how they'll game plan. I just know how they game plan when Nico's on the field.
And it's throw a 60-yard touchdown to him.
Well, I don't know if that's how the game plan, but yes. If he happens to be open behind the safety and he's beat the corner, throw it to Nico and he'll go make the play.
He can he can pull a hamstring at the 15-yard line and still score a touchdown.
And walk, casually stroll into the end zone. He's beaten the Bills secondary so bad. So that'll be a missing component, it feels like, in New England. That's a New England team who's in flux, too, it feels like. Gerard Mayo doesn't seem like he's going to get fired, but he does feel like he's going to make a coaching change.
A mutiny.
Yes, a mutiny.
Like it's a ship.
Did the Patriots think they're going to be good this year? What are they
mutinizing?
Is that a word?
I don't know.
Why do they have mutineers? why are people? You traded Matthew Judon because he was upset, I guess, with Gerard Mayo or whatever. Maybe just he wanted more money and they weren't going to give it to him. So I understand that it's a new coach, but it's not like the Patriots have been good for the last couple years. They understand being bad at football. What are you so upset about? Did you guys think Jacoby Brissett coming in was going to elevate you guys? We all knew what this was going to be. Mm-hmm. Another year where you stink, and maybe you give Drake May a red shirt because you don't want to put him behind that offensive line. I don't get why there's a mutiny on that ship.
I just love the term mutiny.
I do too. In sports.
Because it's only used for pirates
and sports where your team is. It's falling
rooms.
Apart. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no other. I don't know. I guess we could technically have a mutiny.
Could there be a mutiny here?
Yeah, I guess.
Are there enough of us to be so radicalized that there'd be a mutiny? And who are we going against? Who's the person that we're all bonding together to go against? Is it Joe?
I guess.
Even then, whatever. Yeah, we can't have a mutiny here. First, there's not enough camaraderie to get everyone together to side against someone.
Too. They break us up.
You think that's why they do it? We're never in the same room at the same. There's not enough of us to even have the meeting.
When's the last time you've seen Jeremy Branham?
The last time I saw Jeremy,
not at the listener party.
I didn't even see him there. No one did. The last time I saw him was at the Jeremy Pena event at Taquerias Oradas. He was there.
Yeah. But yeah, they keep us separated.
That's the plan all along.
Ape strong together. That's what I've always said.
I'm not going to say age strong, although I do love Caesar. I'm just not doing it. That's just a thing. I'm not going to do it. Don't call yourself a monkey. You guys get it, right?
Yes.
I don't have to explain it.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
I know. That's why. If I'm uncomfortable in my head, I just want to make other people uncomfortable too. But it's a great series. The last one, it's fine. There's no Caesar in it, so it can't be as good as the other ones. And unfortunately, it's not like they can go, hey, this is like a DLC where this is Caesar in an off thing that we didn't tell you about.
Oh, the HBO Max
series?
Caesar, The Lost Years.
Yeah, where in between certain points in the movies where we get like a Caesar series. Andy Serkis is like, hey, how big is the check?
Yeah.
I'll come back.
They'll be paying me like it's a movie.
Yeah, exactly. So... We are not strong together. We just don't have the energy to fight. So the radio people here did a good job. They hired people who aren't very motivated to protest for change. I still don't know if that's a word. But the Patriots are suffering from one, apparently, and that might lead to Drake May starting. You know what's great for a team who needs anything to feel positive about themselves going forward? Starting the rookie quarterback who showed in preseason that he wasn't ready and had to be trained how to take snaps. Is that a good idea? We'll find out, maybe, with the Texans.
The mutineers want it.
I think mutineers is a word. Mutinize is not one. We figured that out. Sorry, I'm getting texts from social team right now, and I'm being distracted. All right, let's go to break here. And we'll
That's who we have a mutiny against. Social
yeah, team. Every time there's a text about, hey, what happened on the show? I was like, I don't know.
Mutiny!
Enough! That's what I protest
I'll
against.
I'll say I.
That's what I protest against, being asked to give you a segment to put up on YouTube. I don't want to do that. And apparently it didn't even record. So the segment I did ask, the segment that I did push apparently can't even be grabbed. It's great stuff. That's just behind the scenes logistics of what we do. They put us under pressure all the time.
I'm sharpening my curved Buccaneer sword.
Well, it's going to be difficult for you to do that without the leg. With one leg mapes is what we call you around here. That's why. Well, you're the one wearing a bandana.
Yeah.
So you
already in the
long hair, bandana, one leg, sharpening a sword. If we do have a pirate, it is Sean Mapes.
I do, by the way, for the listeners out there, I do have a bandana. I do have long hair. I do not have one leg. I have one leg, and then I have another leg. I have two legs.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of talk for someone, and a lot.
You lumped in a whole bunch of things I actually have, and then also said I only have one leg.
Which one of these things is not like spot the lie? The
two truths and a lie.
Spot the lie. The lie is he doesn't have a sword.
That too.
The truth is. It's not a wooden leg, though. I will give you that.
We've upgraded.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Pirates in this century don't have wooden legs, do they? They don't even have swords. They have like assault rifles.
Yeah.
At this point, and speedboats. Okay, I'll try to figure out how to get the John and Lance clip that everyone's waiting for on ESPN Houston YouTube here in a little bit. We'll come back with more of. Maybe not that, but we'll hear more from DeMeco Ryans. We got some Mike Elko sound to get to. He was not happy with how people talked about his quarterback, and he accused Eli Drinkwitz of some subterfuge when it came to motivating one of his players. So we'll get to some sound there, and we'll also hear from John Gruden. He has a TikTok account. Why? I don't know. But he did talk about the quarterback in the city, C.J. Stroud. So we'll get to that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So the future coach of the Florida Gators, John Gruden, has a TikTok account. I don't know if he will be, but those rumors started right after Billy Napier lost to Texas A&M. Gruden to Florida started. But right now, he's putting out content, and he's breaking down football. Why he's lit in a certain way. You can't see this on, obviously you can't see it because you're listening. But if you go to John Gruden's TikTok, you can see how he's lit. It's just weird. I don't know why they chose that. But he's talking very excitedly about the quarterback here, C.J. Stroud, breaking down a play. And I think there is a particular sounder that he, or at least phrase that he said that we're probably going to use on this show at some point. Here's John Gruden breaking down Stroud on TikTok.
C.J. Stroud, 345 yards, brings the Texans back, wins it at the buzzer. Shroud up, Stroud.
Does he have a producer tag? Like, is there some producer who's doing that who dropped his tag in there for the drop? Is that what that is? Can we play that again? Like, it's not Young Metro Don't Trust You, but there's someone.
C.J. Stroud, 345 yards, brings the Texans back, wins it at the buzzer. Shroud up, Stroud.
Now I got questions beyond the barking. I got questions. Is that drop, that producer tag, something he uses in all his clips, or was that specific to Stroud?
Shroud up, Stroud.
Got me feeling. Is that what I think? That's what I'm hearing.
I think so, and I think that's what he uses in all.
Okay,
because there is a longer version of this video.
So he's got someone who decided to have a producer tag.
I guess, or it might just be like just someone saying, "Got me feeling."
Yeah, maybe it's that because.
And then he. Oh, by the way, when the music plays, John Gruden. Bugs out his eyes, rocks back and forth, and like shows his teeth.
Yeah, he's in a dark room, and
I feel like that's a key part of this.
Yeah, you have to watch this. You
absolutely have to, insane. He doesn't blink during this entire thing.
It is insane. You can find it. Just find Gruden TikTok. Just type it in.
Yeah, or go to Twitter. Type in Shred 'em Shroud.
Yeah, you can find it in multiple ways. But this is John Gruden, and he's in a dark room, and it looks like he's lit only by his laptop light, or maybe there's a ring light I don't see on screen. It's just a very weird setup, and of course, everyone wants the vertical, wants everything to be in that kind of vertical filming look, gotcha. Framing. So it's just Gruden's head for the most part, and maybe the corner of a laptop as he's talking about Stroud. At least with the clip, I'm sure there's maybe a different version in a different medium. But I don't know. But if you want to watch John Gruden in his, I guess, in entirety break down Stroud, you can find that someplace other than here. But shred him, Stroud, I think we're going to keep.
A buzzer! Shred him, Stroud!
I want to keep the whole thing. I want to keep the who.
Yeah, the bark's not bad, or that who is not bad, or whatever that is. It's not bad. You probably have the right idea with that. You know, sometimes when you try to change with the times, there's some missteps. And while it's great for this show, I'm not sure this is exactly what John Gruden was looking for as he takes his next step, trying to stay relevant.
I don't know. I think it's better than what he used to do.
What, be a coach?
Well, no. Well, kind of. Outside the one year with all Tony Dungy's players.
It's very true. Very true. I mean, those Raiders teams he had were pretty good until the cheating Patriots took a potential title away from him in that snow game.
But it's better than, you know, better Spider than 2Y Banana on Monday Night Football.
And it's better than his second iteration with the Raiders.
Yeah. It's better than those emails.
Well, how many emails did you see? I saw some that were pretty good.
Oh, whoa.
Not good as far as...
Care to explain? Or?
I mean, the emails I'm simply saying were entertaining.
Oh,
are they more entertaining than this? It's debatable. But now we have something new. Thanks to John Gruden.
Yeah. He was going through, like, all the best quarterbacks. And he would just keep... Like, he would give the passing line. And then he would play that drop, rock back and forth. And you know what? I'm just going
to... That's what we did mention. He's rocking back and forth in the clip. You got to see this thing. I can't explain any of it. From the lighting to the framing to the bug eyes to John Gruden rocking back and forth at the end of it. All of it is perfect for video. Unfortunately, at least in this instance, we're doing radio for the most part. Although, you'll get to see the John and Lance clip a little bit later. We figure that out. So if you were jonesing for John and Lance on YouTube, you'll have that a little bit later in the day.
Just switch between John and Lance and John Gruden. Here's John Gruden talking about Jared Goff on Monday Night Football going, I think it's 18 for 18.
When I was calling plays, I just loved it when our quarterback shredded the defense. I mean, just ripped them. That's what has me feeling really nicey. Like watching Jared Goff go 18 for 18, 292 yards and two touchdowns.
Got me feeling icy.
I couldn't do that pregame warm-up.
He's trying to give the impression that he's on drugs, right?
I think so. Because
he wants people to think he's on drugs.
He also rocked back and forth on this one and made, like, he's making deranged faces.
So we know shred him or shred is part of it, no matter what quarterback he's talking about.
Also, I think it's got me feeling nicey.
Yeah, because he dropped nicey at some point,
yeah,
like in a non sequitur kind of nicey. So yeah, that's part of it too. Got me feeling nicey. I don't know who his producer is, but congratulations, everybody who's involved in the John Gruden TikToks.
I wonder what he's paying his producer.
Did he get settlement money from anyone after getting fired?
Maybe from the Browns. The Raiders, he got part of his buyout?
Possibly. I mean, I'm not worried about John Gruden's money. He was on Monday Night Football, too.
Yeah, he was a coach for 15 years.
I think he's fine. Whatever he's paying his producer, I'm sure the producer's underpaid because he's got to deal with Gruden. He's got to make whatever Gruden's doing coherent enough and clip it up in forms that people will be able to digest. So,
I mean,
whoever
this is very easy to digest, I will say.
Yes, in 15-second clips.
Got me feeling nice.
But the guy who has to put it all together... But the guy who's to put it all together, hey, John, I need you to rock a little bit more. Whoever's directing it.
Eyes, bigger eyes.
Bug eyes, what we're looking for. Whoever's doing any of that to direct John Gruden into this individual, tremendous job. We'll come back with more coaches, less deranged than John Gruden, unfortunately. Mike Elko will kind of start off our college football talk for the day. We'll play some sound from him. He was not thrilled with Eli Drinkwitz or the media for talking down on his quarterback, Connor Wegman, who was back and starred in the Aggies' upset. Well, they were favored, right? They were favored, but as far as the rankings were concerned, I guess you could call it an upset. They dismantled Missouri at home, and the Aggies, the talk has begun. Could they be a one-loss team facing the Texas Longhorns for a shot at a playoff berth. And the ticket prices for that game are already up, and they're very steep. We're talking $2,000 in spots, getting to $3,000 for a game that's months away. The Aggies have an easy schedule the rest of the way, comparatively speaking. The Longhorns certainly don't have it as easy. But there's a real shot at this point where that game could decide who's playing in the SEC title game. Or, you know, it could be one of those things where they play the final week of the season, then they play the next week if things work out. Who knows? It could be the first of two matchups between the Longhorns and the Aggies.
Three.
In the CFP, too. Hey, I know we're looking way far ahead, but let's dream, everybody.
No, we're not looking that far.
They haven't played once since 2011, right? Let's play three times in 2024 to make up for it all. Let's get that done.
You're
okay.
You're going to be sick of this game.
Yeah. You guys thought you loved it and you wanted it back. We're going to give it to you three times within a month.
You're smoking the whole pack, Junior.
Yeah. I remember a time where the Aggies and Longhorns never played. Now it's three times over the course of a month. So we'll see if that occurs. But we'll first hear from Mike Elko and his thoughts on everybody talking bad about his quarterback and Eli Drinkwitz, who did something very – forget about what he did before the game. What he did during the game, some cowardice. And we'll talk about that, too, when we come back in hour two.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.